Fed Chairman Greenspan still worried about inflation, so rates may rise. Goodyear workers end strike with new six-year pact. Ex-POW back in Hanoi as U.S. ambassador. Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan is signaling a further hike in interest rates by warning the country can't afford what he called insidious inflationary pressures. He spoke in New York last night defending the previous quarter-point rate hike.
It would have been folly not to take this small, prudent step last March to reduce the probabilities that destabilizing inflation would reemerge.
That tape courtesy WBIS-TV. Fed policymakers meet next on May 20th. But Wall Street opened on an exuberant note today as if investors have already discounted a further rate hike. Philadelphia-based market analyst Eugene Peroni says the market no longer sees Greenspan as a big bad wolf.
Contrary to the last several times that Alan Greenspan has made the remarks, this time the stock market is enamored of his comments. And I think that this bodes very well for both the short and longer term outlook for the economy and in turn for the market.
Right now, the Dow Jones Industrials are up over 50 points. The White House and Congress are still wrangling over the balanced budget deal a week after declaring they had reached an agreement. Now, lawmakers and their aides say they don't know what was in it. Former Senator Bob Dole this morning shrugged off a CBS News report that the House Ethics Committee may require stiffer terms for his $300,000 loan to Speaker Gingrich.
I'm a private citizen. Private people loan money to other people all the time. But I think the Ethics Committee is going to approve it.
Dole denied the deal is a sweetheart loan. Goodyear tire and rubber workers are back on the job this morning after rank-and-file members of the United Steelworkers voted to end an 18-day strike over pay and security. The walkout by 12,000 workers affected nine plants in seven states. In Akron, union official Dub Wurstler likes the new six-year contract.
The agreement came together better for the union side because of the solidarity and the unity among the nine master plants. I think that was important. That's what drove this agreement.
In West Helena, Arkansas, they still don't know why a smoldering bag of pesticide triggered yesterday's explosion. What Fire Chief Jeff Wages does know is that three of his men are dead.
We're still trying to absorb exactly what happened. We're a small community, so we knew all the guys personally, and it's been tough.
Noxious fumes continue to come from the plant, but evacuation orders have been lifted. Another anonymous donor is helping victims of the 500-year Red River Valley floods now that the first so-called angel has run out of money after donating $15 million. The new aid source, says North Dakota community spokesman Ken Dvorak, only wants to be generically identified.
It is the charitable arm of an American business.
The new donor has put up $5 million, and recipient Jan Wendell of Grand Forks doesn't care where the money comes from.
$2,000 is a beautiful gift for anyone like us. We're cold at night. We have no water, no electricity.
The prosecution has added more bricks to its so-called wall of evidence against the chief Oklahoma City bomb suspect. From Denver, Scott Pelley reports.
For the first time, jurors have heard from a witness who places Tim McVeigh in a Ryder truck. A motel employee testified McVeigh brought the truck to the Dreamland Motel in Junction City, Kansas. McVeigh was staying there 2 days before the bombing. Jurors also heard yet another anti-government letter McVeigh wrote to a friend. 2 months before the bombing, McVeigh wrote, quote, "My mindset is shifting from the intellectual to the animal." Soon, jurors will be hearing from the wife and ex-wife of co-defendant Terry Nichols. They are expected to link the men together as the government tries to establish a conspiracy to destroy the Oklahoma Federal Building. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Denver.
O.J. Simpson is playing in the Celebrity Golf Classic, and as Dan Revive reports from Miami, that stirred some controversy.
Simpson's part of a foursome in the Celebrity Tournament, ignoring a dozen protesters with signs calling him a butcher and a wife beater.
Well, you know, I don't pay much attention to it.
Listeners to a gospel music station phoned in their support.
The man was acquitted. They should just leave it alone. God bless you.
Simpson smiled in the radio studio.
The good works and come to Miami anytime.
He said he's just here to help raise money for research on sickle cell anemia.
I would imagine the people who have the most problem with it are people who have never sent one dime to help the cause of sickle cell.
Simpson said if the protesters send the charity $100,000, then he'll skip this golf weekend. Dan Revive, CBS News, Miami.
The House has passed a measure under which violent offenders as young as 14 would be tried and punished as adults.
The bill prescribes some tough medicine for what supporters say is a national epidemic. This is Rob Armstrong on Capitol Hill. It expands the number and nature of crimes for which teenagers may be tried as adults. It requires states to toughen their own standards in order to qualify for $1.5 billion in incentive grants over the next 3 years. And Republican Bill McCollum of Florida, the bill's chief sponsor, says it's only the beginning.
It is not a comprehensive juvenile crime bill. There are other pieces of this to come later, but it is a very comprehensive approach to correcting a broken, flawed, failed juvenile justice system throughout the United States.
The Clinton administration opposes the House version of the bill, calling it too punitive. The Senate has yet to act on its version of a juvenile justice bill. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Pete Peterson has arrived in Hanoi as the first U.S. ambassador to post-war communist Vietnam.
This is a very special day for America and for Vietnam.
The last time Peterson lived in Hanoi for 6.5 years, it was as a prisoner in the Hanoi Hilton. A top priority in his new post will be accounting for 1,600 American MIAs who didn't go home.
America and Vietnam have put that conflict behind them. But finding out what happened to the missing is an urgent task for their families and for the nation that they honored.
Another star of today's ceremony in Hanoi was 79-year-old former militiaman Mai Van On. Jeremy Grant reports.
This is, Mr. Hi, how are you?
There could have been no better welcome to Hanoi for Ambassador Peterson than the warm embrace of a veteran Vietnamese soldier, beaming and chatting in the midday sun. As he stepped towards his limousine, Peterson was stopped by a bearded old man in a simple green tunic. It turns out this was the same man who over 30 years ago had saved the life of Senator John McCain by plucking him from a lake in Hanoi minutes after he'd parachuted from his stricken bomber plane. It was a moment America's new ambassador to Vietnam, who shared time in a Vietnamese prison with McCain, may remember for a very long time to come. Jeremy Grant for CBS News, Hanoi.
Zairean rebels have rejected as absolute nonsense a power transition plan proposed by Central African leaders. They vowed to topple President Mobutu unless he resigns. The UN's Committee Against Torture has called on Israel to cease immediately using methods including violent shaking and sleep deprivation in interrogating Palestinian detainees. The panel said those constitute torture, but Israel was quick to reject the report's conclusions and its recommendations. In Venice today, uniformed demonstrators briefly occupied the bell tower in St. Mark's Square and proclaimed an independent Venice. But police soon scaled the 324-foot tower, arrested the 8 separatists, and seized 2 machine guns. The prosecutor called them crazies. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrials are ahead now 50.17. And that's the World News Roundup for Friday, May 9th, 1997. The broadcast produced by Steve Bolton, engineering by Matt DeLito, Keith Park, Don Young, and John Morrell. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.